Lesson number 8, New Lives for Old. God is ready to give power. We must respond in faith, which He Himself gives. This is the significance of our opening verse. He gave them power to become sons of God because they believe on His name. So power to become sons is offered. Belief is a response that He seems, that He seeks to engender. Man must choose, man must use his will to accept God's gift. This is the method by which, in the plan of salvation, new lives can take the place of old. Our lesson begins in part number 1 with the fact that we are all sinners. There is none righteous. Read again the 3rd chapter of Romans. There is not a human being who is righteous. Now notice the opening verse, Psalm 14:2. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the sons of men. Look at that. Now the word that is used here means to bend forward, to look at and scrutinize and examine something. The Lord looks down. It's a vertical relationship. God is in heaven. He is eagerly bending forward to look on the children of men to see. Now this word indicates, Malachi 3:18, to discern between the righteous and the wicked. Here is a process of judgment. God is in heaven, looking down, eagerly bending over to discern between the righteous and the wicked among His children, to see if any understands and to see if any does right. Now here is an investigation. There is a movement in some minds to discredit an investigative judgment. And the argument goes something like this. Doesn't God know? Doesn't He know already? Why does He need to bend down from heaven to look? Why has He got to see or discern between the righteous and them that are not righteous? Between His servants and those that don't serve Him? Why are we told in Jeremiah 20 verse 12 that the Lord tests and the Lord sees the heart? The same word. He investigates. He's done that all the time. He does that at the special time before He comes with His reward in His hand. And then when He investigates every case, He sees that they have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now what does He do? Through the new covenant, part number 2, He justifies the sinners. He has made a provision by which sinful men might be turned to Him. And He justifies them freely by grace through the redemption that is in Christ. The force of the verb, present tense, being justified. It's a continuous action. It comes as a gift. It's free. It's empowered by divine grace. And it's through the plan of redemption carried out on Calvary by which man is brought back through the agency and by means of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the divine design. He finds man sinful after careful scrutiny and examination. Then He provides a complex, guaranteed successful means by which man might be saved. Part number 2. This salvation comes about through the new birth. Jesus didn't argue. He really didn't explain when He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. That's verse 3 of John 3. In verse 5 He adds, You must be born of water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. This new birth has two stages. The one who begins to see the possibility of life in Christ, this one can discern. The Spirit is working. But he must respond the next step. Not only must he see it, deliberately look at it, deliberately weigh it up, but he must be born of water. He must bring his body, and he must allow his body to be buried in the watery grave. Then he can enter. Two stages. It's a rebirth, not a modification. It's a beginning again. Part number four. The dead and the resurrected. As we look at man's state in Romans 3, as we've studied in section 2 of this lesson, man is totally depraved. He can't do anything that is right. God must take care of his past. He is dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. Without God, he is without life, and he is hopeless. Now, how can he be baptized with water? Paul takes up the story in Romans 6, 3 and 4. We are baptized in water into his death, that is, in the likeness of Christ's death. Now, Christ's death on the cross was the second death. It was not the anesthetic first death that ends the pain of old age. It was the penal death, the second death. So when the soul who has discerned the possibility of the kingdom of God through the new birth of the Spirit decides that he is going to be born of water and allows himself to be led into the watery grave with a conscious, deliberate desire to bury the past, he is sharing in Christ's penal death, the second death. That's as near as he should come to the lake of fire, is to the baptismal lake. Now the water puts out the fire. Baptism neutralizes the second death. Therefore, we are buried with Christ by means of baptism into his second death that we might be partakers of it. And it doesn't end there. That in the same way as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we be raised up to newness of life through the grace of Christ. We have been planted in his resurrection. We have been crucified. When we are buried, we rise again. When we crucify, we destroy self. And since we are dead, we are free from sin. And since we are free from sin, we can now live a new life, moment by moment, unencumbered, dependent on him for his grace. Part number five, from death to glory. Death, second death, baptismal death, spiritual death. Coming to newness of life, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, who used to walk in the course of this world, controlled by the prince of the power of the air, by the devil himself, by the same spirit that works in children of disobedience. Our whole manner of life in times past was with them, but God has quickened. The Spirit has taken control. It used to be devil control, now it's spiritual control. We used to yield ourselves servants to the devil, now we choose to yield ourselves servants to Christ. This is the new birth. This is the passing from death to life. God is merciful. God is loving. And because he is, he gives us grace, power, to raise us in the same way as Christ was raised up. The same way. And we are made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ. This is the divine idea associated with Christ, joined with Christ, sitting on His throne, sharing in His victory, imbibing His grace, governed by His Spirit, living as He would have us live, continually in His presence. We are made new in Christ, a new creature. The ordinary state of mankind, apart from Christ, is hopeless. The new birth state of man in Christ has limitless possibility. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know. But this we know, that when He appears, we shall be like Him. For if any man is in Christ, that is, in a personal relationship with Christ, within the sphere of Christ, within the parameters set up by Christ, we are in Him living, moving, and have our being. He is a new creature. That is, He continues to be. That's the force of the verb. He is continually being made a new creature. All things have passed away. All things are becoming new. The relationship in the new birth is continuous and dynamic. In Christ, Paul says, I live day by day. The life that I now live, I don't live. But I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Too many times men fall because they frustrate the divine grace. Now, as we think of this life in Christ and bring it down to practical realities, every morning when I awake, I should thank God that I am alive another day. I should open my mind to the control of the Spirit and willingly and deliberately say, Spirit, please come in and control my mind. I should read the Word of God. And as I read it, I should pray, Eternal Spirit, bring to me some manna from the Word to sustain me today. Give me some light that will illumine my pathway. Give me some discernment that will help me to understand the divine purpose in my life. Give me some love that will relate me to my fellow men to help them to realize that Christ is living in me. Then I should review the day. What am I going to do? I review mine. Have I got to preach sermons? Have I got to teach classes? Have I got to administer policies? Have I got to discipline? Have I got to counsel? What have I got to do? Lord, I should pray, take charge of my mind and live out Thy life within me. And if I will willingly, deliberately, consciously yield myself to Him every day, I will be kept by Him every day. The cause for failure, for frustrating the grace of God, is the refusal of human beings to submit to the divine Spirit. There is the crux of the whole matter. It's when I refuse that I fall. If I am willing, He will do for me more than I can ask or think.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. Peace. coming soon.